I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Courtesy of the Bleach Report, a man who's become an old friend all of a sudden, Jason Cole of the Bleach Report, NFL writer for them. Can I call you a friend yet, Jason?
Yes, Ken. Of course you can call me a friend.
Oh, man, I'm feeling giddy now.
As long as you're sending the checks, we're fine.
Well, you and the credit card people keep coming for me, and I keep saying, I got nothing for you. I don't know. At least that's what I'll tell you about it.
Well, we'll work it out.
Jason Cole joining us courtesy of the Bleach Report. Follow him on Twitter at JasonColeBR. I want to ask you first, Tony Romo retires last week. What does this do to the Texans? What's this do to a lot of football teams like Denver as well at their quarterback position? What's the ripple effect from him retiring?
Well, I mean, I think it puts a huge premium on teams as they look at, okay, call the Patriots one more time and make a huge offer. Keep talking to Washington. Now, so far what I've heard, Washington has turned away every phone call, is not listening. The conversations over Kirk Cousins last a couple of seconds. And that's because, from what I'm hearing, at the end of the day, owner Dan Snyder would really like to sign Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal. He likes Kirk Cousins. The question is going to be the price point. Are the Redskins going to pony up, I don't know, somewhere between $65 and $70 million guaranteed to sign him on a long-term deal? Mm-hmm. With Garoppolo, yeah, of course, look, Belichick's looking at this saying, I got to have a backup quarterback. You know, Brissett was a nice player, but he's still just a young player. As much as I might like him, you know, I need to have Garoppolo, you know, because I've got a 39, 40-year-old quarterback. All the logic is there. He's dealt with this situation before with Castle. He'll deal with it a year from now. But to me, if you sit there and you say, look, here's a one, here's a two, here's, you know, something on top of that, can you pry him away? That's where I think, you know, Belichick's got to think long and hard. It becomes a different dynamic once you get to that Tuesday, Wednesday, the Thursday morning of the draft as people start to up their offers. I think that that's when Belichick thinks about it. Ultimately, I think he stands pat, and I think that the Washington stands pat, and that all these teams are, they're picking through those top three or four quarterbacks in this league, hoping that one of them can finally figure it out, or figure it out quickly, I should say.
Can you believe that Bill Belichick's in such an advantageous position where he, on the morning of the draft, on that Thursday morning, could be on the phone with somebody and go, yeah, you're offering me a one and a two, and we just can't do it for the backup quarterback, the guy who won't even play unless something terrible happens?
That's where I just keep coming back to, excuse me, Ken, that you got to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, there's no guarantee that this kid's going to be worth that in a year from now. Garoppolo could have to go play. And if he goes and he plays mediocre football, where are you then? I just think that, to me, I understand keeping Garoppolo, and it's a great luxury. But people, you know, when it comes to draft time, there is incredible temptation to say, I want those picks. It's like, I posted a question on Twitter just for the fun of it. If you were the Oakland Raiders, what would you give up to get Richard Sherman? And everybody's sitting there going, oh, I wouldn't give up anything. You know, maybe a third-round pick and Sean Smith. And it's like, hey, wait a second. Richard Sherman can play. You know that, okay? He's really good. And you're trying to win a championship right now. Why are you worried about the picks? But at this time of the year, people, general managers, it's just human nature. They love their picks. They love to have as many as they can. They feel like they're going to a table at a casino with more money.
Well, it feels like everybody, it's like a good idea. You know, that's all picks are. They're just good. They're just ideas until we actually make them players. And
look, people always forget, and this is the one, fans just don't even realize this. Because I hear fans like, oh, we got four starters in the draft. A, if you got 4 stars in the draft, you have a crappy team to start with. B, okay, look at how many teams get 4 starters in the draft, okay, historically. You're lucky if you get 2 with a couple of guys who contribute a lot. C, do you know the rate of failure even in the first round? It's like 50-50 in the first round. I mean, look, you have to build through the draft. Everybody understands that. You got to develop young players. You got to be smart. You know, that's how you keep your costs under control. You can't just purely play the free agency game. It's too costly and the guys are too old. Everybody gets that. But that doesn't mean that every pick out there is worth a mint.
Very true. Jason Cole joining us, courtesy of the Bleacher Report. What do you think of Myles Garrett?
Great player. I mean, he looks the part. I think he's the only bona fide pick in this, where you just go, yeah, he's one. Take him. Go.
I mean, he
looks like everything of Jadeveon Clowney without the injury.
Are we starting to find faults in him just because it's still 2 weeks until the draft?
Because we spend 5 months talking about this stuff.
Because I've talked to a couple of people, and you know, we got a guy at my station. He goes, I'm seeing some things on film. Okay, would you pass on him at number one? And nobody's telling me. There's callers, obviously, who will say, and I'll hear them out. It's not like it's a stupid notion. I just want to hear why. But anybody who's saying they're watching the film and some things just don't add up, okay, well, would you pass on him at number one? And I'm still not getting a straight answer, or it's still, no, I'm still taking him number one. Okay, then why are we having the conversation?
That's all, folks. I mean, people have too much time on their hands sometimes. Like, they used to do this kind of stuff years ago. They would evaluate the players after the season was done, and they would make the draft would be in January. And the NFL existed just fine, right? They picked their teams, and they did okay, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now we spend from the beginning. I mean, the draft analysis portion of the NFL season starts in September. Especially, it starts as soon as you lose your first game. Because as soon as a team loses its first game, that means that they're going to lose the rest of their games and you're going to have the top pick, right? That's how fans are. Like, you lose, especially you lose week one, who's going number one? Because we're going to have the number one pick because we suck. Okay, that's how fans are, right? So we start this whole process way back in September. We take September, October, November, December, go all the way through April, sometimes even into May. And, yeah, you got to talk about, well, guy's not perfect. Yeah, Myles Garrett is not perfect. He had some plays out of the probably, 800 plays that he had last year and probably over the 1,600 plays he's had over the last 2 years. There were probably some of them that weren't so good, okay? They really weren't. Tom Brady's had some passes that have looked really bad in his career.
Well, would you take a quarterback in this draft, or at least in the first round?
Yeah, I wouldn't be scared of that if I believed in a guy. I mean, now, most people sit there. I was talking to one guy, one GM type today, and he said, look, Trubisky's the only one I think who has first-round talent. I was like, okay, that makes sense to me. But he goes, but other ones will be taken in the first round, and it might be 4. It might be 2. It might be 1. But he said that's the one guy who said, he said physically he looks like he belongs as a first-round player. But the desperation, I can't begin to explain, especially in this era, how much more important the quarterback is than every other position in football. It's just, it's critical to everything that you do. A quarterback makes you competitive. A franchise quarterback makes you competitive for 12 to 15 years. It wipes out the most expensive position that you have to have. And I know even when they get to be $22, $23, $24 million a year, that's cheaper than trying to build a defense. Look at what Seattle's going through. Seattle won one title, they got to a second Super Bowl, and now it's like they're scared because their defense might be getting old fast.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, let me ask you this, you said a GM type told you that about Trubisky. Do you think that there's a lot of other guys who are GM-type guys, insider league exec guys who feel the same thing about Trubisky and then the other quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm sure that you pull enough people. I've talked to a lot of these scout GM types, and there's a pretty even split between Trubisky and Watson is there in terms of which one's the best one, with Mahomes picking up some votes after that. And then add in the desperation factor, okay? Because it's absolutely 100% clear that that desperation factor exists for that position, right? So that's why I would say a lot of GMs will tell you there's only one quarterback who belongs in the first round. That doesn't mean that only one's going in the first round. It's too important. And I will add on top of that, this is a collective bargaining agreement little thing. That is, at the end of the first round, because that's a five-year contract, it's much more advantageous for a team to take a quarterback at 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 mm-hmm. than to take him at 33, 34, 35, where that's a four-year contract. So it's really worth it for you to trade up. If you're, say, at 33, 34, 35, to trade up those three or four picks and take the quarterback at the end of the first round and have that advantage of an extra year of controlled contract.
Well, even on one of those teams, because those teams are usually better at the end and they probably have a quarterback more than likely because it is a league of quarterbacks there. Mm-hmm. What bothers me so much is I'll get calls from Jets fans. Well, we got to take a quarterback. Okay, who? Well, the quarterback owns I need a guy. Because there's a name there. There's going to be a franchise there. And I know that they feel they might be under the gun. They were 10-6 2 years ago. Now they really hit the skids. And who knows what the Jets are doing. It feels like they're going to strip the thing down to the bolts. And I'm thinking, if you're going to take it down to the bolts, if you feel the quarterback isn't there, even though you might get canned at the end of the season, there's a possibility. But why would you put your franchise in a bad position? If you feel you're doing what's best for the franchise, couldn't you just stick to your guns and at least if you go out, you went out doing what was best for the franchise and not taking a quarterback if you felt that they weren't the right guy? Why would you have to force it?
Well, I mean, that's absolutely the case. But that's a logical reaction. And, Ken, this is not – human beings are not always logical. They get desperate. They, A, want to keep their jobs, and, B, they say, I got to have a quarterback. I got to have a quarterback. GMs, coaches, owners are not a whole lot different than fans, right? They really aren't. Tony Siragusa told me a great story once about when Bob Irsay was alive and running the Colts, and he had just signed on with the Indianapolis Colts to start his career, and they had traded for Eric Dickerson. They're losing, you know, some games by two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And Bob Irsay is calling down from the owner's box down to the head coach. It was that crazy guy from college. I can't remember who it was. It was one of Dickerson's coaches in college who he had hired. I can't remember the guy's name. But, you know, Irsay.
Is it Cush?
Name,
am I wrong?
No, not Cush. It was the guy from the guy from SMU.
Meyer.
Yeah, he's calling Ron Meyer on the sideline. And so Irsay's calling Ron Meyer and said, I just traded for this guy. Run him. Run him. It's like, you know, Mr. Irsay, we're down by two touchdowns. We're trying to win the game. Mm-hmm. Run him. You know, that's how this works, okay? Like, that's the human factor to this. It's not always logical. It's not always handled the way that you think that it's supposed to be handled.
If I was a fan, that would make me gag.
But it's 100% true. That's what happened.
Oh, Jason. You know,
Tony Siragusa went.
Oh, that's horrible.
I mean, but that's the kind of stuff that happens because you've got some really rich guy who's basically a fan. He's just a fan, and he's watching the game, and he doesn't understand football, especially now. I mean, the number of owners in this league who don't really understand football is staggering. Okay, because they're just rich guys who went out and bought a team and they want to compete. Well, this is largely their version of fantasy football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.